Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The Build Back Better bill has within it, I learn, subsidization of electric vehicle purchases. And within these last hours, the man most associated to electric vehicles, Elon Musk, has a deal to say about Build Back Better and that subsidy. This is the Wall Street Journal reporting. Elon Musk took aim at a signature Biden administration legislative proposal and said China is adjusting to its growing position as a dominant world power in an interview with the Wall Street Journal. The Tesla chief executive criticized federal efforts meant to spur electric vehicle adoption, including a bill that would boost incentives for buying battery-powered cars. The House has passed a roughly $2 trillion social spending and climate bill, championed by the president, that would give consumers a tax credit of as much as $12,500 if they buy an electric vehicle assembled by union workers using American-built batteries. Vehicles made in non-union factories, such as Tesla's, would qualify for a smaller credit. Liz Peek of The Hill of Fox News, much on Fox Business, is here because Liz wrote about this before Elon Musk spoke up. So Elon and Liz are either spiritual brothers and sisters, or what we've discovered here is a bizarre little detail in Build Back Better that is now going to get global attention. Liz, a very good evening to you. The first I read of this subsidization was in your column. It has to be just a few paragraphs inside of a bill of massive proportions. What does this mean about Build Back Better? Not Elon Musk. He's a genius on his own right. What does this mean about Build Back Better? Are we finding in here little tricks that display a, what you'd have to say, an unusual motive? Good evening to you, Liz.
Good evening, John. I think it is very symptomatic of the fact that Build Back Better is chock full of handouts to Democrat special interest groups. And I think very few people have gone through the thousands of pages, to be sure. But if they do that, they'll find, for example, that organized labor is a big winner in this bill. This is not the only gift that the Democrats want to give big labor. There are all kinds of other measures, including getting rid of right-to-work states, which, by the way, are 28 states that have right-to-work laws and clearly have benefited from them. States, for example, North Carolina just announced that Toyota is going to be building a battery plant in that state. It's the first automotive plant that they've won, but winning those kinds of deals and enormous investments, billions of dollars, partly does revolve around being a right-to-work state. Well, big labor doesn't like that because all of the new almost all the new investment for automobile manufacturers have gone in mostly southeastern states with easier labor laws because, as we all discovered during the financial crisis, the payments that the wage scale for union labor at General Motors was a very, very big problem for the big three, which, as you remember, almost failed during that time and had to be bailed out by American taxpayers. When I say that the labor rates were high, you probably remember headlines about GM workers earning $80 an hour. And I think the entire country was horrified to find out that that company was having to pay that level of wages at the same time that China was paying people, I mean, you name it, I don't know, $5 a day or something, and other countries like Mexico were not much better. So this is an ongoing push. Joe Biden and the Democrats receive every election cycle hundreds of millions of dollars from big labor. Big labor's presence in the private sector now is down to 6%. It's been a very steady decline over the last, I don't know, two or three decades. But they want to turn that around. And so they're doing everything they can, including many aspects of this bill, to pump up big labor, and this is just one of them. This, it's really an outrage. This subsidy for electric vehicles, that $4,500 of which only attains to or attaches to cars made in union shops. By the way, just as a side note, what Elon Musk is really most aggravated about is that he pays the same or better wages as General Motors, even though his plants are non-union. And he also provides health benefits, and people get the opportunity to end up with Tesla stock. So, you know, that's a pretty good incentive considering how well Tesla's done in recent years. But in any event, Build Back Better is a very pleasing kind of proposal for organized labor and climate activists and, of course, teachers unions who have been on the receiving end of a lot of handouts from the Democrats for the same self-serving reason in recent years. And this is just sort of one of the more obvious examples of that.
I speak rhetorically, Liz, because I'm flabbergasted at this little bitty detail that you emphasized. When I read it, I thought, this is weird. But now, well, if I understand correctly, there's a subsidy of $12,500. $4,500 of that $12,000 is for buyers of electric vehicles made at union shops. Read, as you do, General Motors and Ford. Americans buy many cars from non-union shops, the Japanese, et cetera. We mentioned Tesla. Does that mean there's a right way to fight climate change and a wrong way? And the White House is going to tell you that if you drive a Japanese vehicle made in a non-union shop, you're a bad climate fighter and you should come over here to General Motors. This makes both arguments insincere. The subsidization and climate change, both arguments insincere. It's as if it's a trick that they're trying to get away with because they have power.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. But again, much of this bill is in the same vein, kind of pursuing progressive wish list items, whether or not it's contradictory, whether or not it's constitutional. Frankly, I don't even know if something like that is constitutional. I'm not sure it is. I think probably it would be challenged. Because you're rewarding with taxpayer dollars some subset of American corporations and not rewarding others. I don't know that you can do that. But, an awful lot of what this administration has pursued, it seems to me, is similarly kind of bogus. I mean, because you have, John, increasingly I look at a lot of the things coming out of the Biden administration, and I just think they're not very serious people. This is all about pandering to special interests, not really furthering any, as you point out, not genuinely furthering the cause of climate change or
right.
Either one. I mean, I agree with you 100%.
Well, through our lives, Liz, we've seen ideologies and political movements that we disagree with. You respect them when they're sincere and when they're consistent and when they're adamant, despite the fact that they're not being successful. You have a way of recognizing there's another worldview. I don't know what the worldview is of the Biden administration or the Democratic majority, because what we're looking at here is undermining confidence in the people that it really is about climate change, as opposed to about an excuse for your partisans. Now, let's move to another questionable political event, which is the Federal Reserve Board and the reappointment of Mr. Powell as chairman with a new vice chairman. We're told that Mr. Powell is now converted to fighting inflation. All during 2021, he was not converted to fighting inflation. He used the word transitory, which has now been banned. So is this something that I have to get used to, that the Federal Reserve is an arm of the White House and it follows what the president wants because it wants to stay in power? Is this now something you all knew on the Wall Street and I was misinformed?
Well, you kind of hope that you're not misinformed. You kind of would like to think that the Federal Reserve is immune to political pressure. Look, here's how I view this. I think that Jay Powell was way behind the curve in acknowledging that inflation was a problem and then moving to confront it. Why was he so behind the curve? First of all, I think because a year ago plus, he was pushing very hard for fiscal measures that, in his view, were needed to supplement the excessive easiness of monetary policy. In other words, he didn't think the Fed on its own, with low interest rates and with all the big buying of bonds, the bond buying program, he didn't think that was sufficient to fight the downturn, the very sudden downturn that accompanied the onslaught of COVID-19. Okay, so that was the position he took. And I think what happened is, even though we had, as you remember, the CARES Act, which was a huge bill that passed in the March, I think, or April of 2020, and then the $800 billion or whatever that came along at year end, I think that was sufficient. I think we had already spent what we needed to spend first quarter 2021, after all, saw GDP growth of 6% and jobs rapidly coming back. At that point, I think then Biden comes into office and proposes another huge bill, another $1.9 trillion American Rescue Plan, which, by the way, was also chock full of Democrat progressive notions. But leaving that aside for a moment, I think Jay Powell was in a very awkward position dealing with the new president and then kind of going along with that 1.9, or not at least confronting the recklessness of it, because he had made such a big pitch for fiscal stimulus. I think he kind of hoped that it wasn't going to have any deleterious effect on the economy. It did. It pushed demand beyond the limits of where prices would remain stable. And as a result, prices began to rise very rapidly. Yes, there were supply chain problems, but you and I talked for solid 6 months before that about two things that really made a difference in the way the economy was working. One was the vast increase in American wealth. Consumer net worth went up by tens of trillions of dollars, an unprecedented increase because of home price increases and the stock market. That absolutely leads spending. And those, the people enjoying that kind of increase, were the kind of people who spend money. So that was almost a given that that was going to pump up the economy. Also, Americans had more than a trillion and a half dollars of excess savings. The Federal Reserve ignored both of those things, the excess savings again, which would propel demand higher. And so my view is they were really blindsided, isn't the right word. They were blind because they just didn't look at what the economic forces were out there. Yes, there was a lot of people hurt by the pandemic, but those people were hurt by enormous benefits that flowed from all those three big bills that passed, as well as the fact that, again, for middle income and higher Americans, they had a lot of money. So I don't think Powell has any excuse. And then I think, unfortunately, in the summer, he began to look towards his renomination as chairman of the Fed, and he began to play ball with the Biden White House, not wanting to disrupt the economy, by saying, hey, enough's enough. Our labor goals have been met. Inflation's way exceeding our expectations and our goals. We need to make a change. Now he has done that. It was almost like 36 hours after he was renominated. It was like, oh yeah, by the way, I should have mentioned inflation's a problem and we're going to pivot. We're going to accelerate our bond buying program, which is undoubtedly what they're going to announce soon. And we may even raise rates sooner than expected. Unfortunately, I kind of view that sequence of events with some skepticism.
I mention, because inflation is hard as a concept to hold in your mind, Christmas dinner. The London Times is now reporting that Christmas dinner in Charles Dickens' world, you know, this is Bob Cratchit serving Christmas dinner with a goose to his half a dozen children. All right. Christmas dinner in 2021 will increase in price by 3.4%. This in a land where the Chancellor of the Exchequer and the Bank of England governors are not obviously separated. They work very close together many times. So when you enjoy your Christmas dinner this year, think of Bob Cratchit and Tiny Tim, and Scrooge is going to show up with a bounty of gifts because he's been transformed. But Scrooge is going to have to pay more money because the central bankers of the world were not independent. When we come back, New York City faces the possibility of a new mayor. Hooray. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slipcovers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.